Nelson and June have been invited to share. I'm not sure if it's a team effort today or that's great. And their reflections are, in Christ we form one body. And I will be reading Romans 12, 4 through 13, and it will be read again later as well. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these bodies do not have this, all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. We look forward to hearing your sharing.
I'm going to apologize for my voice right away. What I've discovered is in a year's time of not preaching, I lose my voice very quickly. So we'll see what happens. I wanted this scripture used this morning because the Church of Jesus Christ is made up of many members and many gifts. And so the Apostle Paul penned these words to the Romans in chapter 12, where he lists the bottom line as devotion to one another in love and honor. And so I'm going to ask Jonathan if he'll put that up again. And I'm going to highlight just a couple things as I read through it. I said to Neil beforehand, I said, I think people need to hear and see things twice in order to get it. He thought as a teacher, he does pretty good at doing it once. So in this text, just notice a couple things as we go through here. It says, for just as each of us has one body and many members. So you can envision that these members do not all have the same function. So if we went around here and we asked, what is your function in the church? We would discover many different functions. So in Christ, we though many form one body. So he brings it back around again to say, but in spite of all the differences we have in the many different ways that we minister, we're still one body. And each member belongs to all the others. So we have different gifts. And these are according to the grace given to each of us. And so he lists these gifts, and you might be able to do a little inventory for yourself and think about it. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And then Paul notes some very specific things that should be involved in the body of Christ. Love must be sincere. And I think we all can identify insincerity when it's around. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. What June and I have noticed since we've been attending this congregation is these traits are available and obvious in this congregation. The body of Christ is functioning well. So this morning we want to share our stories. Each of you have a story. And each story is unique. You may not share it in the same way we're sharing this morning. Whatever way you do it is appropriate. We're going to alternate back and forth in three sections. First, we're going to share about our upbringing, our heritage. Then secondly, marriage, family, and work time. And then our retirement. I was born in Denby, Virginia. How many of you ever heard of Denby, Virginia? Oh, okay. It's very small square mileage area in the northern part of Newport News, Virginia, which just happened to be in the news recently. It's only 20 miles south of Williamsburg, so many of my school field trips were to Williamsburg and Jamestown. I know it well. My parents were John Shank and Emily Brackbill. John grew up there in Denby. My mother grew up in the Malvern Paoli area. I am the youngest of eight children, was frequently referred to as the baby in the family, sometimes referred to as a spoiled one as well. My father co-pastored Warwick River Mennonite Church. He was bivocational. He shared one offering a month with another pastor. So on the side, he did lawn care, he raised chickens, and he did real estate. He developed a couple different subdivisions. He was a man of many different gifts and traits. Both of my grandfathers and four of my uncles were Mennonite pastors. So I grew up steeped in Anabaptist theology. I heard it at the kitchen table. I heard it in the living room. I heard it at school. I heard it at church. I heard it in the community. First 7 years of my life, we lived in a rundown, ramshackled house that was falling apart, had no central heat. But what I discovered later in life was that was preparation for me to realize that family and friends are more important than material blessings. But very quickly, by the age of 7, I also discovered the generosity of a congregation made up of carpenters, brick masons, plumbers, and electricians who helped us build a house next door to where the old house was. And that house was torn down. In my early years, all I knew was a Mennonite tight-knit community. Most of our neighbors went to the same church. I attended the church school, so all of my friends were either from church or school. Life revolved around that community, and I would call it a healthy environment. You could certainly describe maybe unhealthy things. Maybe it was too tight-knit, but I learned a lot of good things. In seventh grade, for the first time, I began to attend a public school, so my world began to expand a little bit. I attended public school until graduation. In my teenage years, I was heavily involved in our youth group. It was a large youth group. The church was made up of 250 members, which included a lot of youth and a lot of children. Even though I did get involved in public school, in choir and Youth for Christ and in Key Club, still my life revolved around church, where I was mentored informally by many different school, Sunday school teachers and youth leaders. I was given many opportunities to grow. And then a sudden event happened in my life, which initially I was very upset about. My parents moved to Sarasota, Florida in my senior year of high school, where my father was interim pastor at Tuttle Avenue Mennonite Church. I argued with them. I said, I want to go to Eastern Mennonite High School. They said, no. I said, let me stay with my oldest brother in Denby. And they said, no. I was forced to go to Sarasota. And I say it that way because that's how I felt at the time. But it didn't take long for me to realize that there were some good things going to happen in that setting. A young adult who was only a few years older than me began to mentor me intentionally. We met together regularly. He wrote me letters. Even after I went to college, he continued to support me. That turned into be a very formative year for me. At the end of that year, I graduated from Sarasota High School instead of Denby High, which was a little disappointing. Interestingly enough, I discovered later I was in the senior yearbook at Denby. So we moved back to Denby at the end of my senior year of high school. And then in the fall, I went and attended Eastern Mennonite College. As I look back, I realize everyone in my family attended Eastern Mennonite College. My parents met there. Several of my brothers met their spouses there. And you'll hear later where I met my spouse. So I began to attend Eastern Mennonite College, got involved there as well in some leadership positions. And the first summer after my freshman year, I spent a summer in Mississippi working in a very poor community among Native Americans and blacks in that community. And that was also a formative time. Now I'm going to let June share.
I was born on a Friday the 13th to Henry and Elizabeth Culp Yoder. I was baby number 6 and the only girl. So we both are both the youngest, and like he said, he was catered to, and I was too, but I was also picked on by my older brothers. My oldest brother was 23 years older than me and got married when I was just a couple weeks old. So I have a nephew who is just a year younger than me. I grew up in Valley in a small town surrounded by family and friends. Most of my playmates were my cousins or children I knew from church. It was a pretty insulated community in eastern Berks County. My family went to a small Mennonite church in Boyertown. And a bit of church history here, Boyertown Church is one of the oldest churches in eastern Pennsylvania. It was part of the circuit riding preaching system. And about that same time, a meeting house was built in Valley. So Boyertown and Valley congregations met together, alternating buildings until the 1940s, when it was decided to have two separate congregations to meet the community needs. My parents were asked to go to the Boyertown congregation to provide stability. So I was used to going to a small church with many different kinds of people, not just those with a long Mennonite heritage. Boyertown and Valley churches are kind of on the fringes of the Franconia Conference, where all the larger churches are, so we've always had more of an outreach into the community. I went to the Boyertown public school system until 11th grade when I transferred to Christopher Dock Mennonite High School. I feel that the legacy that has been passed down from my parents and their extended families has helped me to grow in my faith journey and also instilled values in me that continue to this day. After graduating from CD, I went to Eastern Mennonite College to study nursing. I never thought about another career. And most of that was due to the young woman that my brother Ray was dating and later married, and her nursing school friends. At college, I didn't have my parents telling me to do, what to do, or what to believe, or where to go, or not to go. I had to own my faith and make it my choice to keep up my Bible studies and church fellowship. I usually went to the Sunday services at college or to Ridgeway Church with my brother. In my sophomore year, I saw this incoming freshman whom I wanted to meet. We were assigned to social groups, and this Nelson Shank fellow was in mine. He had long, curly, slash frizzy hair. I was going to mention Shane here, but you all know what Shane looks like with his hair. That'd be Nelson. And wore a scruffy army surplus jacket. He didn't like to say we were dating, but we started doing things together a lot. So this was the time of the charismatic movement, and we joined a Bible study group led by Truman and Betty Brunk. It was during this time that I really learned to study the Bible in more depth and own it as my own. We got married in 1972 when I was a senior and Nelson was a junior. When I graduated from EMC, I worked at Rockingham Hospital while Nelson finished college. After his graduation, we moved to New York City, where I worked at Albert Einstein Hospital and Nelson worked at Burnside Mennonite Church. After 3 years, we moved back to Bali, my hometown. We raised three children there. These have been introduced. Todd, who is now married to Jenny Bon, Jeremy, married to Jess Gosho, and Renee, married to Jason Harnish. I worked as a temp nurse and sold Avon to supplement our income. After the children were born, I stayed home until Renee was in kindergarten. I then worked as a school nurse in the Boyertown School District for the next 26 years until my retirement in 2016. During that time, we attended Boyertown Church where I had grown up. We were involved in many areas. We were youth sponsors. I was librarian, taught VBS and Bible Club, and led a Sunday school class and joined the quilting group in my retirement.
Ask June about the magical powers of paper towels sometime.
Wet paper towels.
When we called my parents to tell them that we were engaged, my father was skeptical. Guess what? I was 19 years old. And he was particularly concerned that I wouldn't finish college, so I think it was probably a good motivation for me to go ahead and prove him wrong and finish college. I majored in sociology. I've said that I've used it every day of my life and never got paid for it. As it turns out, it was a very good background for pastoral ministry. Also in college, just out of desire to study the Bible more, most of the elective classes I took were Bible, and I discovered when I graduated I was one class short of having a double major. The next summer after we got married in 1972, we spent 3 months in the Bronx in New York. I received credit for urban sociology under the leadership of Dale Stolzfus, Don's brother. Because of that time in the Bronx, after my graduation, Eastern Mennonite Board of Missions asked us to go back, and I was a youth director at Burnside Mennonite Fellowship. We found an apartment close by. I could walk to work. June drove to Einstein Hospital to work as a nurse. We were in New York from 1974 to 1976. It gave me many opportunities for leadership in a small congregation, lots of things that needed to be done. And then the pastor resigned, and we formed a search committee, and that search committee came to me at the age of 23 and said, "Are you interested in pastoring?" And I said, "No." It was a very quick response. But I realized it planted a seed that began to grow over the years. So we moved to June's hometown, as she mentioned, in Bali, to be near her parents. I took a job in a factory, studying the culture of factory workers. No, that's not what I was doing, but sometimes it felt like that. It was the same place that June's father had worked for 30 years. We settled down in that community and began attending Boyertown Mennonite Church, and almost immediately we got involved in all kinds of leadership roles, especially youth leaders. Plus, there was a young adult, young married couples group that nurtured us during that time. At the time of our pastor's retirement, I had been taking seminary courses in the evening, one of which was out here in Lancaster with Paul Zare. I had taken them at several different seminaries. I had about a semester's worth of classes under my belt. When June said to me, "You're 40 years old and it's time to decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to seminary the rest of your life, or are you going to become a pastor?" So at the same time, these are God's strange workings, the factory where I worked after 17 years filed bankruptcy and I was laid off. So I decided to commute to Harrisonburg, to Eastern Mennonite Seminary, for 2 years. I had a brother living in Harrisonburg who said, "You have free room and board as long as you're coming here." My family said, "You can go. We're staying home. We like what we're doing here." And so I commuted Tuesday morning to Thursday evening and finished up my classes in 2 years. During that time, the congregation at Boyertown interviewed us. They asked June, "What's your role as a pastor's wife?" She said, "What you've been seeing is what you're going to get." and they interviewed me and called me as their pastor. Now, people have often asked me, what are the reasons you went into pastoral ministry? And I had three of them. The first two are a little bit tongue-in-cheek. My father wanted one of his children to be a pastor. I was the youngest of eight, and none of the others had done it. Secondly, I had done just about everything else in the church. Pastor was about the only one left. But really, I had been sensing a call to ministry for some time, and it was strongly affirmed by people around me. I discovered as I began to pastor in 1995 that it was rewarding and challenging, just like any job. But it was more than a job. It was a calling. And I realized that God had begun to call me into ministry to people in the margins, which led to a unique and unexpected ministry in prisons. I began to discover that there were people that I knew that either had relatives in prison or were themselves in prison. And I began to visit them. And the significant thing was I visited them in the visiting room where they could get food out of a vending machine, which they referred to as gourmet food, because it was so much better than what they got in the chow hall. Through this ministry, one inmate would recommend another inmate to me, and I would visit, and eventually they would get out, and if possible, I would stay in contact. So like any ministry, there were successes and failures, but I saw God use me in many different ways. Pastoral ministry was where my heart was, and I developed deep relationships in the church. It was hard to bring that era to a close, but I feel that we chose the right time.
Retirement. I love it. But I wanted to see what different words were used for retirement, and the thesaurus used these words, among others: evacuation, pull out, withdrawal, ebb, fall back, flight, pull back. But retirement is, as we understand it, is much more than that. At first, it was a time of withdrawal and pullback after some stressful years. But in retirement, there is a time to engage in other opportunities. I like to be available to my extended family when they need help or just visiting them. We have two grandchildren, Lincoln, who is 8, and Cora, who is 6. We had been babysitting for Lincoln since he was born, driving from Valley to East Petersburg every Monday. When COVID hit, we drove out here twice a week. It's a lot closer commute now. We now pick them up from LMH 2 days a week, and it is so nice to continue that connection. It's nice to be closer so that we can help out when needed at other times also. As we said, all our children are now settled in Lancaster County, at least I think they are, and we decided that when Nelson retired, we would move here, which we did in April. Even though it has been a challenging transition, I have made this my home. I lived in Valley. This is what I do. I lived in Valley all but 7 years of my life, and my brother still lives there. Just a little side story. He would take a walk he takes lots of walks, but Sunday afternoon he would take a walk, and around 3:30, 4 o'clock, we'd hear this bang, 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 bang on our door, and there Roy stood at the door, just stood there. Well, we invited him in for coffee. He knew that was our coffee time. So I missed that. We are so glad that we can be near our children and grandchildren. We knew that finding a church here in Lancaster County would be a big part of our transition and settling in. We felt very welcomed when we visited here at Whitmer Heights, and to me, it felt good to have some previous connections that we had made with some of you. We are used to a smaller congregation, and we really enjoy the fellowship of this community of believers and look forward to getting to know you better. Thank you for welcoming us, and making us feel a part of the community here.
The last 2 years of pastoring were a good reason to retire. I'm sure you as a congregation went through it as well during the pandemic, the two hardest years of my ministry. So I think in a way, those years prepared me to say it's time to step away. I needed a time to rest and a time to recuperate. The word I'm using is recover. And the word that I'm looking forward to next is redirect. One of the ways I'm doing that is there's a good friend of mine who is a resident at Manor Care ProMedica there near WGAL. I visit him every week to cheer him up. Another way I'm involved in retirement ministry is at New Person Ministries on South Prince Street. They also have two houses in Reading that I was involved with. And so when I moved here, Jordan Kaufman asked me if I would get involved here, and so I lead a Bible study every week there. That continues the ministry that I've had to inmates and returning citizens. It's been an opportunity to continue that ministry that I've appreciated and enjoyed. June and I have discovered this wonderful community of believers here, as June already mentioned. We've increased time spent with our children and grandchildren. We've learned to navigate a new town, and we've discovered many treasures. God has been good to us, and we both experience fairly good health, although it seems like every week we have doctor's appointments. I think that's part of retirement. We desire to be faithful stewards of our time, finances, and gifts. And I want to wrap up with a passage from Ephesians 4, which builds on the Romans 12 passage. And this will not be on the screen. If you want to turn to Ephesians 4, you can, or just listen as I read how Paul talks about building up the body of Christ in verses 11 to 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we leave you this challenge this morning. In Christ, we form one body. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a role to play in the church's ministry. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share this morning. We thank you for this congregation. We just pray that you would continue to build up the body of Christ here at Whitmer Heights. Minister to us and through us and to this community. We pray this in your name. Amen.